Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
We welcome you this morning to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben, your Tyranny Response Unit. Glad you've joined us this morning here in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently 52 degrees outside, or 55 degrees, and it's going to go up to 83 degrees this afternoon and going to be just a beautiful spring day. So enjoy the wonderful weather we have here in Greenville. If you're making your way out to work, you've got nothing to worry about except bringing your beach towel and your shorts, if you can. See if your boss will permit it. You'll be in good shape today. A lot of good stories coming up for us here on Christian Worldview. Going to be a good show. As usual, a great alternative to the other kind of liberal speak that you, that you hear elsewhere on these radio waves or over the internet. We had a number of interesting stories that I pulled. In fact, my wife found one reading the homeschool court report yesterday, which I thought was very intriguing. It's written by Michael Ferris, who's, of course, the head of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. He says this: the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child is a threat that longtime homeschoolers know well. If ratified by the United States Senate, it would ban spanking in our country. Homeschooling would no longer be governed by state law, but by a 10-member committee of child welfare experts in Geneva. Even our right to teach our children that Jesus is the only way to God would be in jeopardy. Aware of this threat, homeschoolers and other parental rights advocates have been ready for battle for some time. In fact, the reason this treaty was never sent from the State Department to the Senate for ratification after being signed by then-President Bill Clinton on February 16, 1995, is that it faced certain defeat. As a friend of traditional families, President George W. Bush has simply not moved it at all. Is George W. Bush really a friend of families, traditional families? I don't think so. But anyway, Michael W. Ferris is obviously sold out to the Republicrats and Republican cause. Nevertheless, because we are open-minded, objective, people who are thinking Christians here and people who love liberty, we don't mind reading stories by those who support George W. Bush in general, especially when they're pointing out such a great point here on the issue of the United Nations regulating our lives here. This is a major threat. World government is a major threat. Globalism is a major threat to us, socialism in all its forms. We do not want anything to do with the United Nations and those justices and people in the American government who are trying to place us under the authority of foreign rulers like those in the United Nations are traitors. They are those who are not only patriots, they deserve a Tory's death as far as we're concerned. Because why do I say that? Our whole way of life, our understanding of liberty, our ability to freely raise our families, preach the gospel, and so forth, is in jeopardy, folks. When these socialists, globalists, and whatnot try to become powerful, get more power, we will lose. They will come after us and harm us because they hate what we do. Homeschooling is, as they know, the greatest threat that they have for the future. Their public school program has been one of the greatest successful measures that's ever been undertaken by people here in the Western world for transforming society from those who love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, as well as loving their neighbors themselves. I'm speaking Southern this morning. I won't say anything more about that, but we find that these public school programs have been able to indoctrinate kids with the ways of socialism, Darwinism, coddling alternative lifestyles. They've been able to help people see around the need for liberty and rather prefer slavery. In a very Orwellian way, the public school has done a tremendous job in not only dumbing down a generation or two, but in inculcating this generation with the values that are opposed to the vision of the founders, which are opposed to the Bible and which are opposed to what God would have people to do in this world. This is indeed what we face, and they realize that homeschooling is a way that we can beat them. We may not win immediately, but our long-term plan will succeed. But if they are able to put the homeschoolers under the United Nations, guess what? We will have conflict on our hands. Now, how many of you who homeschool this morning are going to be willing to obey the United Nations? Let's suppose that your government, I'm speaking specifically to divine writers out there now, because I know what the answer will be for liberty of conscience folks and for theonomists. Let's suppose your government decides that the United Nations is a pretty good deal and we're going to go ahead and put Americans under the United Nations. So what would we do then? Would we say, well, that's what the Lord has ordained for us? If they say that homeschooling is illegal, we're simply just not going to do it. Or if they say homeschoolers must teach their kids Darwinism and they must use this certain packet of books issued by the state, are you going to obey it? Or are you going to so-called rebel? Are you going to resist it? That's the big question. And that's where the rubber meets the road. You know, yesterday we talked about, in fact, on last Thursday as well with Chuck Baldwin on the air, we talked about what you would do if you were the nurse and you were just converted to the faith, or you just realized that that murdering unborn children was wrong, and you're witnessing a partial birth abortion inside the clinic of the abortuary with a so-called abortion doctor. An abortionist is really the better term there. He may be a medical doctor, but he's just become a criminal. Well, let's suppose you're in that situation, and the baby is crowning, coming out of the birth canal. The doctor knows it, so he doesn't want the baby to be born. So he pushes the head down a little ways so that the back of the neck is shown, or there's the top of the head. He takes his scissors, and he plunges them deep into the skull of this child. The nurse then would normally hand him the vacuum tube to suck out, or what they call evacuate, the cerebral contents. That means they suck out his brain with this thing. Is that gross? Okay, it is gross. I'm sorry to gross you out, folks, but this is what goes on in the United States of America. Someone's got to tell you, if you weren't aware of what was happening, this is what people do to murder unborn children. This isn't the most common way of murdering unborn children, but it's one way. And let's use it as an example. You're the nurse sitting there doing this procedure, but you've been converted. You know, you've understood that this is an evil. It's wrong to murder other people, and so you decide to tell the doctor, "I see the baby crowning. Don't you dare plunge those scissors into his head." The mother's saying, "No, kill him, kill him." And the doctor's saying, "I'm going to kill him. I want the money, or I'm going to go ahead and do this. I've done it before. What's your problem?" He starts to raise his hand to plunge it in. The nurse grabs her scalpel, thrusts it into the neck of the doctor, killing him. The baby's born. Life is saved. Why do Christians have such a problem with defending life as an eyewitness? She is an eyewitness, the only person on the spot who can go ahead and save the life of this unborn child. The police can't get there in time. She can't use the normal channels to defend this other person. Now, she doesn't have a legal obligation to defend him, but she can do so. But Christians have a problem with doing this. If there was somebody on the street corner being mugged and murdered, being stabbed by somebody, that person might not have a problem with pulling out a gun and shooting the assailants. But when it's in the abortion clinic, then then all of a sudden, it's a different story. Why? It's illegal, and they're afraid of what would happen to them. Christians are afraid to take on the state. They're afraid to stand up for what's right. Preachers are afraid to stand up for what's right. They don't want to say the wrong thing. They're very careful now in their pulpits not to talk about homosexuality, or not to talk about the sin that is so common in our society today that's politically correct. Why? They don't want to offend other people. They're a fear of man, but especially they don't want to fear the state, because the state can punish them, put them in jail, fine them, and so forth. They are afraid of the government. And so it would be with homeschooling, wouldn't it? If it became illegal, there would be a great deal of problem here with Christians obeying God's purpose. See, Christians are all too willing to obey God, relatively speaking. We're all, as sinners, not very willing, I should say, in a general sense. But it's a lot easier for Christians to obey God when it's legal, isn't it? when it becomes illegal to obey God, wow, there's the real rub. How many Christians are willing to obey God when it's illegal? You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we're providing roughage for your brain this morning, as we usually do. Love that little tidbit the production staff threw in there, that we provide roughage for the brain. Did you know, or it may interest you to know, that there is a politically incorrect, uncensored monthly newspaper that sometimes publishes the Tyranny Response Unit's writing? It's called The First Freedom, and a supporter of this show, Nelson Waller, offers you a free postpaid sample copy of it. Call Nelson at 864-642-4315 if interested. You can also sample this fine paper's material at www.gulftel.com/first freedom. It picks up where the liberal media leave off. Furthermore, the Nationalist Times, another parrot paper, is a politically correct monthly newspaper that has reported on the progress of Christian worldview programs since it began. TRN listeners can obtain a free postpaid sample copy of this one as well by calling Nelson. Once again, that number, 864-642-4315. Visit the Times website, anu.org. That's anu.org. Mention this ad for a big discount on your subscription. The Nationalist Times picks up where the liberal media live off, too, and salutes Dr. Coben's pioneering broadcast work. And we appreciate the kudos there. Well, last night was a second meeting for the Institute on the Constitution, which occurred in Pelzer, South Carolina. Unfortunately, the Tyranny Response Unit, trying to find the location, was not able to do so. If you've ever been in Greenville, South Carolina, for those of you listening on the web, and those of you certainly are here and have moved here from somewhere else, you realize this is the most complicated place in the world to find anything in this whole upstate of South Carolina. And I was not able to detect the meeting location, but at any rate, hopefully one of these weeks I'll be able to get over there and answer some important questions and participate in that time. Hope it went well last night. The Institute on the Constitution. Call Pastor Tony Romo, 864-269-1443 for information or to register. That's Pastor Tony Romo at 864-269-1443. Join your friends and neighbors for a wonderful opportunity to learn about American history, the underlying biblical principles on which our government is based, and the history of the drafting and ratification of the Constitution of the United States. Occurs every Monday night, 6:30 till 8 p.m., and it's going to go on for 10 more weeks. The first 2 weeks are under the belt, so to speak, and they're moving on. We also want to encourage you to go to policyofliberty.net before you attend these meetings, and scroll down to the Liberty Minute section, and the Liberty Minute section on the home page contains an audio file that's 46 minutes and 20 seconds long called Christian Views on Rebellion, highlighting the American War for Independence. Listen to that reading of those articles that are currently being printed in the Times Examiner. It will help you think deeply about this issue and about what your response should be to public policy, what the nature of the state is. Then attend those meetings and get a double dose. Really become more involved, more of a thinking person because of both of those events. Well, at any rate, this is a Christian Worldview show, and the Christian Worldview show is primarily dedicated to Christians, those who should be thinking more deeply and seriously about public policy issues, who don't really have a public policy theology. We also welcome the rest of you or others who are not Christians, who just love listening to the show because we promote liberty, and we do indeed do so. Well, this is the reason we exist, to help people have an alternative not only to radio, for what's on the radio, but to give you things to really grapple with each day, make your life a little better, and help you think better as a Christian so you can act according to the way God wants you to act. At any rate, we've been talking about disobedience to things and how difficult it is to obey the law when... Well, how difficult it is to obey God when it's against the law. Let me say it that way. Think about how difficult it would be for you if you were living in another country right now and there were truly repercussions, reprisals. There would be backlash. There would be persecution in a physical sense if you obeyed God. If you chose to be in China, for instance, and have another child besides the first one. Or whatever the modified rule is now, as there is some slight modification to it. I think you can have up to two under certain circumstances in China. Say you wanted to have six. Would you obey God, even if it's illegal? That's the question of the day. I don't think Christians in America today have the backbone. You know what one of the great differences between our founding fathers and Christians of today? Christians of the day do not have the backbone to obey God rather than men. Christians think it's very convenient to obey God, perhaps, as long as it's legal. Make it illegal, and they will scurry away with their tail between their legs, and they'll make up excuses. They'll talk about how God put them under this government, and they have to obey it. They'll talk about how they don't want to lose their salary and their lifestyle. That's what they're going to tell you. They're not going to want to stand up for what's right in the face of tyranny. And that's a sad thing. Well, here we have an article that came through the Homeschool Loop about innovative internet radio stations targeting homeschool families. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, an innovative online homeschooling group is taking its internet niche even further, creating a Christian radio station for homeschoolers at www.radiograce.org. Radiograce.org provides four distinct channels of Christian music, praise and worship, gospel, rock, and contemporary. The station provides value add to those families involved in homeschooling as well as others who simply want to listen. It's just one of the offerings from learningbygrace.org, a leading provider of internet-based homeschool academies. Well, this is very interesting, not necessarily because I'm going to endorse the content. I've never actually heard the content, but I'd like hearing that homeschoolers are taking the reins and really starting to move forward in different areas, including internet radio, because I think homeschooling is going to have the greatest impact for liberty on this culture that we've ever seen since its founding. As the movement begins to expand and people begin to improve their homeschooling curriculum, the public school continues to go down the drain further and further, homeschoolers will begin to shine, and they'll be the ones who are left who can think, and they'll be ones who are turned to, who understand the principles of the founders, will be looked to for the answers, because the vast majority of public school kids are not going to be able to do it for themselves. Sure, there'll be a few out there, the fair-haired boys of the left and girls of the left, who will begin to go along their diabolical course of turning us away from the truth, or turning us away from liberty and from the principles of God's word. That's true. There's no question about it. But homeschoolers will become a great force in the future. The real question then remains, what will we do with the information we have? What will the kids do? Would they be fearful of men? Would they be willing to stand up and fight against tyranny? Or are they going to say they can't obey God because it's illegal? That's my big question for you this morning. Think about it. Think about that deeply. Also want to remind you that we have Confederate Memorial Day coming up, Sunday, April 30th at 2 p.m., Clinton Square in Clinton, South Carolina. This is sponsored by the Lawrence Breyer Sons of Confederate Veterans Camp. For information and details, call James DeShields after 6 p.m. Monday through Friday at 864-969-5029. That's 864-969-5029. Confederate Memorial Day coming up in just 11 days. You're listening to Christian World View with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Will Rogers said, "Those who complain about the high cost of government should be glad we're not getting all the government we're paying for."
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or a comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Did you know that on April 15th, 1861, Lincoln issued a call to the U.S. state governors for 75,000 militiamen? This call was made without the consent of Congress, which is a breach of the Constitution. Did you know Abraham Lincoln breached the Constitution? How many of you are surprised to know that? I wonder. If you haven't been listening to Christian Worldview very long, if that's the case, because we expose Lincoln for what he was. America's Stalin, the greatest most evil president this country's probably ever produced. He and FDR are right up there at the top, vying for first place. The more I studied Lincoln, the more I realized that it was him and his diabolical cabinet that was the greatest progenitor of evil in this country, the destruction of liberty. The guy goes and chops off the branches or cleans up the tree after it's been uprooted or chopped down later on, like FDR, or puts it into the incinerator. It's just not as bad in my book as the guy who actually chops it down to begin with. But be that as it may, while liberty was dying on the table, FDR did kill it, did stab it. And so he deserves, he'll deserve his place one day as well for what he's done. But nevertheless, Abraham Lincoln, a true demagogue, a true tyrant, a true violator of the principles of liberty and the Constitution. Lincoln's act signaled another act of aggression against the peaceful secession of the Confederate States. Fort Macon, North Carolina is occupied by state troops. Interesting. Getting some of these little things from the research section of the Tyranny Response Network. Did such a great job. We appreciate all your work every day for you listening to us, you and our production staff. Very helpful. Confederate heritage groups are upset with the Alabama governor, it seems. Tuesday, April 5th, this was posted. Governor Bob Riley from Montgomery, Alabama. Confederate heritage groups seem excited when Governor Bob Riley's annual proclamation designating April as Confederate History and Heritage Month dropped a paragraph saying slavery was the cause of the Civil War. Their excitement, however, was short-lived. The governor quickly reissued the proclamation with a paragraph on slavery restored and posted it on his website. "That makes Bob Riley look very inconsistent and inept," said Roger Broxton, president of the Confederate Heritage Fund. State Representative Oliver Robinson, House Chairman of the Legislative Black Caucus, was pleased that Riley withdrew the version of the proclamation that makes no mention of slavery. To me, the members of the Black Caucus and the majority of black citizens of Alabama, that would be a disgrace, he said. It leaves the impression that slavery was a total cause of the war, and that's untrue. This is the problem with it. It was more about tariffs and taxes, said Benjamin Hesley, chief of Heritage Defense for the Alabama Division of the Sons of Confederate Veterans. Broxton said, restoring the language of will hurt Riley if he runs for re-election next year and faces former Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore in the Republican primary. Roy Moore will get all the Confederate vote for governor, Broxton predicted. Indeed, but yet this guy, this governor, you know, these politicians in general are not necessarily informed on all the issues. They're just good at getting elected. That's what they're in there for. There may be people backing them or telling them what to say. They may be puppets, or they may just be lucky, so to speak, and say the right things, get into office and take control and not really know what they're doing. That may be the case with George W. Bush. I'm not sure the guy's bright enough to really pull off what he's done on his own. There may be other people pulling some strings behind the scenes. But at any rate, in the case of slavery, we know, just looking at history, that slavery was an institution that was going to die out on its own economically anyway. It did everywhere else in the world. Slavery was only mentioned as a cause for fighting against the South in the middle of the war, if you take Lincoln's proclamation. But it was only slavery in southern states. Lincoln did not free any slaves in Kentucky, Maryland, Delaware, what would become West Virginia or Missouri. Those five states continued slavery all the way through the end of the war because they were not considered in rebellion. Now we say that knowing that the entire Maryland legislature was imprisoned for 4 years because they were going to secede, and the legitimate government of Missouri was run all the way down to Marshall, Texas, which is right on the border with Louisiana there in East Texas, and operated there during the Confederacy as a Confederate state. Missouri did. How many people know that? Lincoln kept control of these states by moving federal troops in and just installing his own puppet governments in each of these places. The war was about, as these fellows just mentioned, the tariff, because the South was the richest part of the country and produced the greatest amount of tax revenue for the American government, as well as providing the purchases of goods and services from the North. Without this tariff barrier, there would have been great damage done to the industrialists of the North, and the political process was used to force the South to stay in. And, of course, in the end, they devastated themselves, the North did, by continuing this war. It was rather insane, because the South, by being reconstructed and terrorized, obviously had no more wealth to purchase goods and services. Unfortunately, this is the case. At any rate, people still believe this poppycock about slavery being the primary cause of the war. It might have been for a few people, but it was not for most. Interestingly, an interesting piece of information. Hope that myth has been expelled from your mind. If you haven't heard such things before, it's because you haven't been listening to Christian Worldview for long enough, or you haven't been reading the right books. Well, it's not entirely your fault. You've been subjected to the indoctrination of the public school program here in America, the government indoctrination program. And it also extends to many Christian schools. Did you know Bob Jones University? Well, I'm not going to offend too many Bob Jonesers here. But Bob Jones University uses history books which laud Lincoln. And they sell them in the homeschool text. I'm not talking about the school. I should say that the homeschool text I've seen from Bob Jones University, let's put it this way, maybe different on campus, I don't know. They actually use textbooks which say Lincoln was a pretty good guy. This is a lie. This is tragic when conservative Christian colleges, yes, and Christian high schools and the grammar schools are using textbooks that do not teach the truth. Very sad indeed. Here's some myths that came up from our production staff. Myth: only Southerners own slaves. Fact: entirely untrue. Many Northern civilians own slaves prior to, during, and even after the War of Northern Aggression. Surprisingly, to many history-impaired individuals, most Union generals and staff had slaves to serve them. William T. Sherman had many slaves that served him until well after the war was over and did not free them until late in 1865. U.S. Grant also had several slaves who were only freed after the 13th Amendment of December of 1865. When asked why he didn't free his slaves earlier, Grant stated, "Good help is so hard to come by these days." Contrarily, Confederate General Robert E. Lee freed his slaves, which he never purchased, they were inherited, in 1862. Lee freed his slaves several years before the war was over and considerably earlier than his northern counterparts, and during the fierce early days of the war when the South was obliterating the Yankee armies. Lastly and most importantly, why did northern states outlaw slavery only after the war was only over? The so-called Emancipation Proclamation of Lincoln only gave freedom to slaves in the South, not in the North. This Pecksniffery even went in so far and to find the state of Delaware rejecting the 13th Amendment in December of 1865 and did not ratify it, the 13th Amendment to free the slaves, until 1901. Of course, that probably didn't matter. But anyway, these are all facts that people are little aware of. How sad it is that we can be so easily brainwashed and led astray. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us this morning. We'll be back in a few minutes.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview. Currently 52 degrees here in Greenville, going to get up to a high of 83 degrees and be sunny and warm, a beautiful spring day here in South Carolina. Hope you will enjoy it. Well, we've been talking today about some tough questions, some deep questions, things that people don't normally like to think about, but I've asked the question and put you right on the spot. I'm not afraid to do so here. The Tyranny Response Unit is not afraid to face tyranny. Someone's got to do it. Where are the Founding Fathers, the Robert E. Lees? Where are the Stonewall Jacksons of our day? I don't know, but hopefully they're somewhere. Hopefully they'll rise up maybe out of the homeschooling generation. But what we have is Christians who are unwilling many times to obey God when it's illegal to do so. How can it be illegal, they say, to obey God? Think about what happened in the scriptures, Acts chapter 5, when they were told, the apostles John and Peter, to not preach the gospel. Think about the children of Israel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, in Babylon, when they were told to bow down to the golden statue. These were, or when the midwives were in Egypt and required to kill every child. These were tough days. It was illegal to obey God, because if they obeyed man, if they obeyed the state, they would have been in violation of God's law and God's word and God's plan, and they would not be glorifying the Lord. But nowadays, it seems that Christians are so milquetoast, so unwilling to stand up for the truth in general. How sad it is, but unless it's legal, Christians are probably not going to be willing to obey God. It's already hard enough to obey God, isn't it, for us as sinful human beings? We sin, we all fall short. There's no question about these things. We all see it in our daily lives. Adding to the aspect of illegality to something and making our actions rebellious makes it even that much more difficult and far more easy to find an excuse for not doing what's right. I know it's tough, folks, but you're listening to a show that's not going to be easy on you. Not only not easy on your brain, but not easy on your activities either. Well, in the news, the research staff sent me something from Ted Nugent. This is not normally a source that we would rely on greatly, but Ted Nugent is urging fellow NRA supporters, that's National Rifle Association people, to get hardcore. Houston, on the AP, the AP network is reporting, with an assault weapon in each hand, rocker and gun rights advocate Ted Nugent urged National Rifle Association members to be hardcore, radical extremists, demanding the right to self-defense. Speaking at the NRA's annual convention Saturday, Nugent said each NRA member should try to enroll 10 new members over the next year and associate only with other members. Ooh. Yes, we don't want anything to do with the heretics, with the infidels, those who do not want to have gun rights. Go, Ted. That's next year. Sit in here and say, holy smokes, the NRA has 40 million members now, he said. No one is allowed at our barbecues unless they're an NRA member. Do that in your life. Nugent sang and played a guitar painted with red and white stripes for the crowd at Houston's downtown convention center. Interestingly, very interesting. You know, I was in Dallas last weekend and with a couple of the guys here from my house, and we stopped by and saw the place where Kennedy was shot. It was very interesting. If you haven't been to Dallas, this is something worth doing. There are actually 450,000 visitors still a year to this particular spot, the grassy knoll and all that. There's people handing out literature on the streets showing that this clearly was not a single bullet that went all the way through Kennedy's body, came out his toe or whatever it was, and then hit the governor of Texas in the shoulder. This is a myth that Oswald acted alone. Even if he did shoot one shot, there were all these CIA people around, banking people, or so commonly called banksters, their representatives around. There was a conspiracy from Lyndon Johnson, as well as the mayor of Dallas, to kill Kennedy. And this is why it's so intriguing for Americans, and why they still visit this in mass, because they realize their government has lied to them at this point, and there's something else being covered up. The same thing is true of why the war between the states, or the Civil War, as it's called, in the North, is so popular today as a topic to be written about and commented about. People continue to discuss it because they realize that the truth is being covered up. People start, and once they start realizing that they've been lied to by the indoctrination program provided by the state, they want to find out the truth, and the truth is readily available. That's why there's far more written on these topics where government is so clearly in the wrong than in other things that are far clearer that it doesn't seem to be as bad, whether it be World War II or even World War I. Although those wars too had their nefarious components, it seems like governments were meddling in them as well. But nothing so egregious as Lincoln's war on the innocent, war against liberty. It really was a war against liberty. Last week I used to call it the War of Northern Aggression. You know what? I sometimes don't like using that phrase now, because I just, after reading DiLorenzo's book, or The Real Lincoln, and reading some of these other stories, I realized there were so many Northerners who were supporting the South, and that they were silenced and shut up by Lincoln and his cronies up there. It's really not fair to include them and those good people in the North who did not have anything to do with supporting or attacking the South. They were exiled and hassled themselves. Now, it was true that it was primarily a Northern aggression. Let's not forget there were Southerners who were traitors, especially in the Appalachian areas. And every state, as far as I know, sent militia units to the North to fight against the South, including all the Southern states. So let's not forget that there are some traitors here in the South, and there were some good people in the North. Let's just bear that in mind. Perhaps a little bit of Western perspective will help people here in the South. Of course, remember, I'm from the true South, Southern California. I get to be both Western and Southern at the same time. Helps perspective, perhaps, here and there. Any rate, support gun rights. We were thankful for Ted Nugent standing up and taking a stand in favor of guns. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Back in a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.nppros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
We're speaking about the great heritage of the South. I want to remind you that Confederate Memorial Day is going to be April 30th at 2 p.m. On April 30th at 2 p.m. at Clinton Square in Clinton, South Carolina. You can go by there and come and honor those who wore the gray. Sponsored by the Lawrence Breyer Sons of Confederate Veterans Camp. For information or details, call James DeShields after 6 p.m. Monday through Friday at 864-969-5029. That's the Confederate Memorial Day celebration, April 30th, 2 p.m. at Clinton Square in Clinton, South Carolina, 969-5029. I keep wanting to make that a 2 today instead of a 9 when I announced that. I also want to mention to you the Times Examiner. Our friends at the Times Examiner are faithful in publishing great columns from the right wing, whether the constitutionalists, pro-life libertarians, as well as these Republicans who for some reason remain in the party that are still somewhat conservative or paleo-conservative. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner by stopping by 44 Pine Knoll Drive in Greenville. Or you can simply call Bob Dill or Laverl at 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. You'll be glad you did, because you'll be able to get to read some of the great columnists of the day, nationally syndicated authors and writers such as Thomas Sowell, Walter Williams, Pat Buchanan, Phyllis Schlafly, Joe Sobrin, Charlie Reese, as well as yours truly, your Tyranny Response Unit, Dr. John Coben, other local favorites like Ben Graydon, and occasionally people like Dr. Stephen Yates. You'll appreciate picking up a copy. Subscriptions are only $25 per year delivered to your doorstep, $27 if you're out of state. Take note, Christian Exodus, folks. And you can pick up a copy by calling simply 864-268-0576. Hope you do so today. Well, we have a couple other quotations that Tyranny Response Network researchers have sent up I thought would be worth reading here on the air. Jefferson Davis, he's my least favorite guy, by the way, when I'm talking about Southern history, because, of course, he was the head of the state. And as a head of the state, he drafted people, put them into slavery, and he also promoted this phony money, fiat currency, which was bad. There are a number of things that he did that all states do, which are evil. Nevertheless, he wasn't as evil, that's for sure. What's hard to be as evil as Abraham Lincoln or those people in the North. But at any rate, Jefferson Davis said, "I love the Union and the Constitution, but I would rather leave the Union with the Constitution than remain in the Union without it. I love the Union and the Constitution, but I would rather leave the Union with the Constitution than remain in the Union without it." So true. The reason the South left the North is because the North was violating the Constitution. A great quotation. Appreciate the TRN staff bringing that up. General Patrick Cleburne from the South said, I am with the South in death, in victory, or defeat. I believe the North is about to wage a brutal and unholy war on a people who have done them no wrong, in violation of the Constitution and the fundamental principles of the government. They no longer acknowledge that all government derives its validity from the consent of the governed. It wasn't they as much as it was Lincoln and his cronies, as we find out later on. But appreciate the comment from General Patrick Cleburne. Booker T. Washington said, "There is another class of colored people who make the business of keeping the troubles, the wrongs, and the hardships of the Negro race before the public. Having learned that they are able to make a living out of their troubles, they have grown into the settled habit of advertising their wrongs, partly because they want sympathy, and partly because it pays." Ooh. I wonder if you're talking about Uncle Tom's Cabin here, Harriet Stowe, or somebody else, perhaps. Interesting. Article came up also from the Tyranny Response Unit Network researchers. What is government waste? This was published in 1994 in the Freeman, Ideas on Liberty by William Peterson. He was a Heritage Foundation adjunct scholar, was contributing editor of the Freeman. The waste tax idea should generate discussion in America. Just how do you define government waste? How do you know it when you see it? And skipping down through the article, government itself has been growing in real terms and well beyond the rate of population growth ever since the New Deal, notwithstanding various attempts to leash this dangerous dog. What is waste? Consider Milton Friedman's iron triangle or organized interest. Affected bureaucrats and overseeing legislature perpetuating all manner of wasteful schemes. Schemes such as paying farmers not to farm, continuing to maintain military bases that the Defense Department says are unneeded, or spending only $500,000 to convert the North Dakota home of late band leader Lawrence Welk into a national shrine, although Congress did back off the boondoggle after a public uproar. Government itself is this dangerous dog. The Grace Commission seems to have been modeled after two earlier Hoover commissions. President Truman appointed ex-President Herbert Hoover to chair a waste-finding commission on the organization of executive branch of government in 1947 to 51. And President Eisenhower named Hoover to head up a second commission for the same purpose in 53 to 55. Splendid studies made news as they sprouted forth from the Hoover commissions. But to little avail, like Topsy, government just grows and grows wastefully. Interesting article, just to remind us about the over-bloated government that we, or the state that we have, and it never gets smaller. Don't listen to Republicans and others that talk about cutting the size of government, cutting the budget. All they do is shave off a little bit of the massive increases they're planning. Government always grows. We have a completely out-of-control state, and we're heading, as we read earlier, towards a one-worldism governed by the United Nations, it seems, as the traitors, George Bush and the members of the Supreme Court, are now in power and are now doing what is wrong against the vision of the founders and against the vision of what made America great, against the Christian understanding of the world as well. He also makes a comment later on in this article, waste is essentially a function of overblown government, of the state playing God, of being all things to all Americans, of misusing its taxing power to demand and command wealth, and thereby inevitably messing up, wasting resources, expanding the deficit. That is what the state does. Good article. Appreciate the research staff sending that one up as well. Then there is always Chuck Baldwin. Chuck Baldwin on the show last week. Found out that Chuck has a few things he needs to tune up on his own understanding, including how we deal with abortionists, how Christians have a right of self-defense and to defend the helpless, as well as his understanding of public schools and 501c3s, which we're opposed to both here at the Tyranny Response Network and Christian Worldview. But nevertheless, still enjoy reading him, being open-minded, liberally-minded people as we are here at the Christian Worldview show. He says, there must never be another Waco. On February 28, 1993, agents of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms began their illegal assault on the home of the Branch Davidians outside Waco, Texas. An unnamed Koresh, unarmed David Koresh was shot by BATF agents as he stepped into his front porch. A shootout resulted with several deaths on both sides. Shortly afterward, the Federal Bureau of Investigation took charge of the situation on April 19, 1993. Agents from both departments, utilizing military hardware and both U.S. and foreign military advisors, laid siege to the dwellings, which resulted in the deaths of 87 American citizens. Most of the victims were old men, women, and small children. That was a tragedy. How many of you remember that going on? Beyond that, under the Bush administration, he continues a little later in his piece this week, we have watched the size and scope of the federal government burgeon to proportions not seen since Lincoln invaded the South. It seems clear that we are entering an era of unlimited, unbridled federal power and authority. Can we assume, therefore, that more Wacos are on the American horizon? Oh, I think you can. And I think, Chuck, you think about it even further than that. You're going to have to break the law someday. All revolutionaries have to break the law. You're going to have to, because government is going to make obedience to God not just, they're going to make it illegal to do so on certain things, whether it's spanking your kids, educating your kids, or just in the way you preach or act in your life, in your own lifestyle. It's going to become illegal to do what's right. And then the rubber's going to meet the road. Then we're going to really get down to brass tacks, and we're going to see where the real Christians are. Are they going to be willing to stand up for truth, even if it's illegal, or not? That's the question of the day. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Will Rogers said, "Those who complain about the high cost of government should be glad we're not getting all the government we're paying for."
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity. But as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
One of the great benefits of being associated with the Tyranny Response Unit and the Tyranny Response Network for our production staff has been my suggestion that they visit lewrockwell.com. It's a great site with great thinking people posting wonderful things there. Even folks like Charlie Reese, who wrote about just recently about an unjust war, and our research staff was able to go there and pull up some great articles for us. Appreciate their efforts, too, because they streamlined this volunteer's efforts to have to scan the web himself for all sorts of news sources. Charlie Reese says, it would pay us all to remember that the war in Iraq was both unjust and illegal. We launched a war of aggression against a country that was not attacking us, did not have the means to attack us, and had never expressed any intention of attacking us. We were the aggressor, pure and simple. Take note, all you other radio broadcasters, the Tyranny Response Unit is opposed to the war in Iraq. And indeed, your support of George W. Bush is misguided, misleading, foolish, and horrid. Because this man has brought death and mayhem to a country that had did not aggress us. This is a wrong thing to do. Continuing on, in other words, I think the Bush administration lied to the American people about weapons of mass destruction. Yes, he did lie. He continues to lie. Has he ever done anything he said he would do? He continues to bring us more to the left, a bigger government with more leftist programs while giving lip service to Christians as he slaughters them. The whole push of the best people of the in the bloody 20th century was an attempt to find ways to avert wars of aggression. The U.S. was one of the leaders in that drive. All of that was chucked on the ash heap of history by George W. Bush's decision to invade Iraq and overthrow its government. No sane leader of any nation in the world can trust America anymore. We have demonstrated that if we desire to attack a nation, we will fabricate the excuse and attack it despite international law, international opinion. Well, not that I care less about international law, and for the most part, or opinion necessarily. In this particular case, George W. Bush did what he wanted. Continuing on with Charlie Reese, and he did what was wrong with that was tyrannical. We slept with many bloody dictators, including Saddam. Now they believe they went there to spread democracy. This is a bunch of hooey. The present interim government is corrupt to the core. The British Broadcasting Corp did a lot of interviews with Iraqis, and not one of them mentioned wanting democracy or freedom. They all said they want strong government that can provide security and end corruption. Continuing later in the article, do not take too much comfort in the fact that we are at the moment the 800-pound gorilla. Everyone hates the gorilla and will try to do everything to weaken it. Given the venality, or that's the corruption, and incompetence of our government, the shaky state of our economy, and apathy of our people, the decadence of our culture, I don't think we'll be king of the jungle for very much longer. Great article by Charlie Reese this morning. Appreciate the research staff finding that. Also from LewRockwell.com, Charlie Reese is also in the Times Examiner, by the way, not just on LewRockwell.com, that's LewRockwell.com. The state expands and weakens, as Lew Rockwell himself posted. He says, permit me to draw your attention to what strikes me as the most profound political paradox of our times. The U.S. government is larger, more consolidated, more powerful, and more intrusive than it's ever been in our history. Indeed, our sweet land of liberty is now host to the most powerful Leviathan state that has ever existed. Truly, we live in an age of abundance. What is the relationship between the rise of big government and the rise of American prosperity? It seems that people on the right and left are quick to confuse the correlation with causation. They believe that the U.S. is wealthy because government is big and expensive. This error is probably the most common of all errors in political economy. It is just assumed that buildings are safe because building codes, that stock markets are not dens of thieves because of the SEC, and the elderly don't starve or die because of Social Security and so on, all the way to concluding that we should credit big government for American wealth. Now, this is where the economic logic comes into play. You have to understand something about the way cause and effect operate in human affairs to understand that big government does not bring about prosperity. Government is not productive. It has no wealth of its own. All it acquires, it must take from the private sector. You might believe that it's necessary, and you might believe that it does great good, but you must grant that it does not have the ability to produce wealth in the way the market does. It's a great comment on economics here that we need to think about, and I hope that you will think about today. Many people believe that we would just wither away and die without a state. It's simply not true. There could be an anarchic society, that is, a society without states at all, even with no limited government, that would survive. Now, I believe limited government is a better way to go than anarchy, but I would say, folks, and you heard it right here, and I said it in Bible and Government Public Policy from a Christian perspective, anarchy, as bad as anarchy might be, is still better than the vast majority of states that we've had in the last 2,000 or 3,000 years in the history of the world. Lew Rockwell continues, the Cold War purported to pit capitalism against Soviet communism, but the truth was that there was very little enthusiasm for market economics in the United States. The planned economy that had become fashionable in the 1930s continued to hold its public policy in the 1950s and successfully kept many innovations at bay. The cell phone is a good example of this, probably, or this. Probably many people in this room carry one, he said. It has been entirely a result of the private sector initiative. It has nothing to do with the government. The prices and plans of the market base are market-based and accessible to a vast amount of buying public. The industry is incredibly competitive. He goes on to talk about it's rooted in the private sector. Our right to communicate was sustained and controlled by the state. In 1947, the federal government, which had then taken ownership of the entire radio spectrum, graciously relented and permitted the first mobile telephone services. So, too, it worked that way with the mails. And that, those services, how those were transformed by the private sector. Government does not create wealth, folks. Government takes wealth. The only, and especially the state, the only time that government can be possibly useful is if we have collective action, where we collect a certain amount of tax revenue through government, and then those revenues are used to defend us from predators, which are difficult to defend against on our own. Other than that, there is no use for productive use of government. Government's no different than a burglar alarm, a smoke detector, or a gun that you might buy to insure your property or protect yourself. That's the best you can get out of the, out of government. You can't get any better. As soon as it expands into the state, it becomes inefficient, wealth destroying, not wealth producing. Lou Walkwell closes his article saying, "We can still be good citizens. We can be good parents, teachers, workers, entrepreneurs, church members, students, and contributors to society in a million different ways. This is far, far more important to the future of liberty than how we vote. We must regain our confidence and our capacity for self-governance. I believe this is happening already. The empire is shrinking despite its every attempt to expand. Even if the public sector cannot and will not prepare for a future of liberty, we can. Let us look for and work toward the triumph of liberty unencumbered by Leviathan." Appreciate your comments today, Lou Rockwell. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in a few minutes.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Just a glorious day here in Greenville, South Carolina. We have currently just in the low 50s outside, but going to get up to 83 degrees today under sunny skies. So enjoy the wonderful weather as you're making your way out to work. Hope you're also enjoying the wonderful thought-provoking conversation here on Christian Worldview, but you're not going to hear, you're going to hear a conversation here unlike any other radio station or any other webcast for that matter. It may interest you to know that there is a politically incorrect, uncensored monthly newspaper that sometimes publishes the Tyranny Response Unit's writing called The First Freedom. Supporter of the show, Nelson Waller, offers any of our listeners a free postpaid sample copy of it. Call him at 864-642-4315. If you're interested, you can also pick up a sample of this fine paper's material at www.gulftel.com. /First Freedom. It picks up where the liberal media leaves off, and appreciate Nelson doing that and offering that for listeners of the show. He also has another announcement regarding the Nationalist Times. The Nationalist Times is a politically incorrect monthly newspaper that's reported on the progress of Christian Worldview program since it began. TRN listeners can obtain a free postpaid sample copy by calling Nelson again at 864-642-4315. Visit the Times website, anu.org. Mention this ad for a big discount on your subscription. The Nationalist Times picks up where the liberal media leave off and salutes Dr. Coben's pioneering radio broadcast. Appreciate that, Nelson, and appreciate both of those publications supporting the Tyranny Response Network. You know, the Times Examiner is another thing. We've mentioned the Times Examiner. Get your $25 subscription, folks, if you haven't got already, $27 out of state. Call 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. If you had that in your hands this week, you would have been able to see that Walter Williams has done it again, writing another brilliant column, Stupid Airport Security. Of course, I'd written about the Transportation Security Administration in my Times Examiner article not too long beforehand. I'm not sure that Walter reads what I write. Probably not, being as busy as he is. But nevertheless, we tend to think a lot alike, and therefore you'll see a repeat here in Walter's article. He says, Stupid Airport Security is the title of his article. He says, for most of my professional life, I've traveled frequently, sometimes boarding a commercial flight or two or three or four times a month for lucrative speaking engagements. Over the past 3 years, the frequency has fallen to an average of once or twice a year. The reason is simple. I don't want to be arrested or detained for questioning airport security procedures. Don't get me wrong. I'm for security. I'm just against stupidity. Let's look at some of the look at some hypothetical question. You're a detective. A woman reports a rape. How would you go about finding the perpetrator? Would you confine your search to males, or would you include females as well? You say, Williams, that would be stupid to include females. But not if Transportation Secretary Norma Mineta were your supervisor. You might be ordered to investigate females and males as possible suspects in order to to avoid committing the politically incorrect sin of sex profiling. With regard to airport security, Mineta said, while the security procedures are not based on race, ethnicity, or religion, or gender of passengers, we also want to assure that in practice, the system does not disproportionately select members of any particular minority group. That means Americans who fit no terrorist profile, mothers with children, blind and disabled people, elderly couples, are frisked, groped, and hassled. What is even more stupid is that the pilots and flight attendants face similar screening. Here's my question to you. If a pilot is intent on crashing a plane into the building, does he need to carry anything on board to do it? On several occasions, having gone through screening without setting off any alarms, I've been pulled aside for additional screening. Imagine that you're there with a Transportation Security Administration supervisor, and I'm being subjected to additional screening. You offer him a bet whereby if Williams is discovered to be in possession of something that could endanger security, like a knife, gun, or a bomb, you'll pay him $5,000, and if I'm not, he'll pay you $100. Do you think he'll take your offer? I'm betting he wouldn't. What about TSA confiscation of dangerous personal items such as tweezers, hat pins, sewing scissors, knitting needles, etc.? I hope I'm not giving the TSA ideas, but I've watched a number of television shows featuring supermarket prisons like California's Pelican Bay. Among the items the prisoners fashion into lethal weapons are ballpoint pens, belts, glass containers, and toothbrushes, all of which the TSA permits on airplanes. So what's the TSA's reasoning for allowing ballpoint pens on planes but not tweezers? Most hijackings and recent terrorist acts have been committed by young Muslim extremists. That's not to say that all or nearly all Muslims pose a threat to security, but if one is looking for a potential terrorist, the larger proportion of resources should be spent screening Muslim passengers. screening the blind and disabled, mothers and children, and senior citizens is not going to have much of a payoff unless the goal of not having tweezers or a G.I. Joe doll holding a rifle on the plane. If I were a terrorist, I'd appreciate the fact that the TSA treats every passenger as having an equal likelihood of being a security threat. Fewer resources would be available to screen me when law-abiding people are the subject of profiling. It's unfair, and they are insulted, and rightly so. The true source of injustice in the face of the responsible for making Muslim near synonymous with terrorism. If I don't fly a commercial, even if I don't fly commercial anymore, I care about the TSA's waste of resources. The potential terrorist targets in many areas, such as ports, railroads, and infrastructure, but roughly 90% of TSA funding is spent on airports operating under the assumption that every passenger and every bag have equal likelihood of being a security threat. That's stupid. And that's typical for government to be stupid or to do things inefficiently. We're not surprised. But I'm glad, of course, that Walter Williams has correctly pointed out the problem here. We're going to take a quick break on Christian Worldview. Be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we're hoping you've enjoyed the show, Christian Worldview, this morning with Dr. John Globin. Glad you've joined us here. Have chosen to indulge in our network and our thinking rather than turn onto the blather of so many other stations purporting to be Christian worldview stations or purporting to be even just liberty-minded stations, those who are supposed libertarian talk show hosts, for instance, or really just neocons touting labels. They've mastered the art that George W. Bush has mastered, that you can say anything and then do the opposite and still make the sheeple, the people who are sheep out there, just compliant and follow along dutifully, believing that what they're doing is right, even though what they're doing and what they're experiencing is evil. Sad, but true. Any rate, if you go down to the bottom of policyofliberty.net, that's our homepage, policyofliberty.net, you'll find a couple of very interesting links there. I've reminded our listeners several times about these links, and I want to do so again. You can scroll down to the bottom and see one that says, Take the Quiz. Take the Quiz is an important link because it pops up a Adobe Acrobat file, or reader file, that allows you to take a 15-question multiple-choice quiz that'll help you understand and define what your perspective is as an evangelical for the nature of the state as well as the Christian's relationship to public policy. It'll help you better understand and think about these things as you read through the descriptions at the end. It's a self-graded quiz just for your use in honing your thinking. I would encourage you all to go to the website policyofliberty.net, scroll down to that link, take the quiz, and spend a few minutes and do so. It will be very profitable for you, I think. in your Christian life, or even in your life as a lover of liberty who wants to simply understand the proper role of the state. In addition to that, there's a link down there that says Deep Questions for Dr. Coben's radio show. And frequently on this show, we will read some of these deep questions as they become available. We're going to do that in just a minute. In fact, if you pop up that particular document, you'll see these 18 questions in there or so. I believe it's 18 questions. Yes, 18. That you can actually read while we're off the air, then send in a question or comment to the show via email to discuss it. That's a great idea, something certainly worthwhile doing. Here's a couple of examples of the questions that you'll find there and a few of my replies. Question 9 says, if God is not bound by political boundaries, what does it mean that he deals with nations? What is a nation in a biblical sense? This is an important question because so often things like 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves, blah, 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 come back and bless the country, so to speak, is applied to America. But nations, and blessed are the people or nation whose God is the Lord, when the righteous are a nation rejoices when the righteous are in power, Proverbs, from the book of Proverbs. There are many things that are used there in the Old Testament. Even in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, we see that every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue will be included in the church of God. And in heaven, there will be rejoicing from every nation. Well, nation is commonly construed, because of our public school indoctrination program, to mean what is defined by political boundaries. In other words, we are in the nation of America. Canada is in the nation of Canada. Whereas in the scripture, the idea of a nation is the idea of an ethnic people. Whether that nation be confined in a political boundary A or political boundary set up B, it doesn't really matter. A nation is an ethnic group, a group that is derived from one particular person, such as Abraham, one famous example, or Ishmael, creating a society of people. Doesn't matter about the political boundaries. And in the Bible, God is not only not bound by political boundaries, he doesn't really think much about political boundaries, as Christians like to believe that he does. He's more concerned with, in the Old Testament, is clearly nations, that is ethnic descendancy, than he is with politics. So that is a nation, what a nation is in a biblical sense. And you may disagree with that. I'm not sure why, but you might. And if you do so, please give a call to the show and we'll discuss it. 864-244-8177. This is important for us because many Christians have a nationalist view towards America. And they believe that what's good for America is good for the church, that the wars in Iraq are good for the church. These are falsehoods. And they breed a nationalism that is not biblical. Our nationalism as Christians should be confined to rejoicing over the ethnic church that we have. That is, its head, Jesus Christ, and all those who believe in him become part of the bloodline of Abraham, according to Romans chapter 4. And we serve God as his people, as a special nation, as Peter would call us in 1 Peter chapter 2, I believe, I believe it's Second Peter chapter 2, verse 13. I have to go and look that up real quick, where we are called a royal priesthood, a holy nation unto the Lord. Well, at any rate, here is what a nation is in a biblical sense. Here we are as Christians all together as one people, one so-called ethnic group, and that's how God treats us. It doesn't matter whether we speak what language you speak or we're from different political arrangements. God is not honoring political arrangements in the future. The great thing about America is it allowed for the removal of tyranny at its outset. It allowed for those of us who love liberty and freedom, who love the faith that our fathers had, to be free and to practice that faith. That's what's in jeopardy nowadays, folks. Let's not be confused on these simple terms. Question 10 of the Deep Questions for Dr. Coben's radio show says, what does the Bible say about the nature of the state? Does history confirm this thesis? Well, in my opinion, and although some people would disagree with me, obviously, people disagree with me about a lot of things, folks, in case you didn't realize that. What does the Bible say about the nature of the state? It says that the state is evil. Now, there may be some difference between what the state in the Old Testament under the theocracy, how that was and how it was viewed, and the state today, or modern states in general. But the fact of the matter is, in Scripture, we see indications clearly that the state is a nefarious, evil institution. Then Revelation chapter 13, we have an allusion to the Roman Empire and the state there as the beast of the sea comes out from the sea and has on its head a crown of with a name of blasphemy written upon it. Anybody living at the time would right away be able to recognize that Domitian, who was emperor at the time, who had a golden crown as Caesar, that there was had an inscription on it that said, Deus et Deus, I believe that's what it was. I am Lord and God, it was the translation. He wore a crown that said that he was the Lord and God. Would understand that the Apostle John was talking about the Emperor Domitian. And this beast from the sea got its power, it says directly in the text, from Satan. It's empowered by Satan, and it's derived, its very lifeblood is derived from Satan. So we see the nature of the state indicated there as being very satanic. There are many other scriptures which point to a satanic nexus. Very, very rarely do we ever have any indication there might be some godly connection between, or righteous connection between God and the state promoting as the arm of God goodness in the world, unless we misinterpret Romans chapter 13, that the government actually of Nero was upholding the law of God and punishing those who were breaking God's law, which is pure folly. History confirms this thesis as well. We'll talk about that when we get back from a quick break. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Will Rogers said, "Those who complain about the high cost of government should be glad we're not getting all the government we're paying for."
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity. But as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or a comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And here I've been telling you that the nature of the state is evil, nefarious, wicked. And from its inception, it's been that way, and throughout history. And history does confirm this thesis that we can find in the scriptures. The state has been the greatest progenitor of evil in the history of the world. In the 20th century alone, Dr. Rummel from the University of Hawaii reported, the state killed of its own citizens, non-combatants, at least 170 million people. That's states all over the world, not just the American state. And not principally the American state either, by the way, obviously. We're talking about Stalin and Mao and these kinds of people, Pol Pot, Idi Amin. These people killed at least 170 million people. The more accurate number, because it's difficult to count up the bodies of the slain, the various ways they were slain, the more accurate number, says Rummel, is 350 million alone in the 20th century. This is a great evil that it's done. And it shows the true nature of the state. History confirms the thesis, whether it's the Roman government, whether it's part of the Greek Empire, whether it's medieval governments or modern governments. And I say governments used in the sense of a state. I want to make the distinction very clear. I'm talking about states when I use that term. these states have been great evil perpetrators in the world. This is the facts of history. It's very rare to find exceptions to this rule. We have a few people who try to eliminate states, like our great founding fathers. They eliminated the state over them, and England tried to install a limited government that would never become a tyrant to the people. Unfortunately, that failed, and under Lincoln, we lost that great vision of the founders. But nevertheless, there are a few bright spots here and there, but the vast majority of the history of the world is one of oppressive states attacking people. And history confirms the thesis of the evil nature of the state. It is important, and there are a couple other questions I want to go through on here. I just wanted to note one thing the research staff sent up, a little bit off the subject, but just to get the premillennial dispensational part of the Tyranny Response Network up in air, up in arms a little bit. Paul McIntyre reports that facing the future with a chip on the shoulder, forget mobile phones as the hottest new media technology for anyone under age 30, handsets as we know them will be gone in 20 years. The world's tech-savvy youngsters will be using microchip implants to communicate and transact. The microchip movement is one of dozens of forward-looking scenarios that some of Australia's major companies got a fix this week, courtesy of Network 10's An Innovation and Future Scoping Program. Watch out. People worry about microchip implants. Here they may come. Well, we are all worried about it to the extent that that governments or states will use them to assail people. And indeed, we will see the true nature of the state become more evil as it tries to control more of our life, or more of our lives. Well, I want to read a couple more questions here just quickly as we're coming into the close of the show of Christian Worldview today. Question 11 on this Deep Questions for Dr. Coben's radio show says, is it important for American Christians to be informed and then vote, or get involved with politics, or sit on a jury? I would say yes to all of these, although voting is, in general, a waste of time economically. It can't ever, we could talk about that some other time on another show. It doesn't make a lot of sense to rationally vote, but nevertheless, I think they should. Why not? It's important for Christians to be informed, and then go ahead and cast their vote if they choose to get involved with politics, to some extent, especially sit on a jury, because they need to instill the Christian worldview, the vision of the founders, back into society. Should they organize First Amendment protests? Yes. How does Proverbs 24:11-12 relate to abortion clinic protesting and Operation Rescue? That scripture says, deliver those who are drawn toward death and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does he not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? That's a scary scripture in light of the God of the Bible telling us specifically how we should handle those who are stumbling to the slaughter, being slaughtered off in abortion clinics. The question we've been talking about a lot today is, if it's illegal, should Christians do it? The answer is yes. There are times in the scripture Christians have to break the law. The problem is it's very convenient for Christians to uphold righteousness, to say they're law-abiding citizens and do what's right before God and obey God when it's legal to do so, but are they willing to do so when it's illegal? To save the life of the unborn, folks, is illegal. Are people willing to do it? Most Christians are not. It's a sad state of affairs that they're more willing to obey men than they are to obey God, and because of that, there is much mayhem, chaos, murder, and so forth in society. That's the point of me reading that particular question. Think about it. Pick up that Deep Questions for Dr. Coben's radio show and read question 11 again and meditate on it and see what you think. Question 14 says, what does economic theory tell us about the nature of political actors and the inadequacy of their knowledge in regulating society? It tells us they can't possibly regulate society. They don't have enough knowledge to do so. They can't possibly order goods and services as a communist regime tried to do. Can such theory be borne out in the scriptures? Yes. We know clearly what the nature of man is, his limitations, not only in what he knows, but his own potential to serve himself rather than serve others. Can such theory be borne out in the scriptures? Yes, as I said. Does the nature of man change on account of the ballot box or political appointment? Some people believe that being elected actually changes a person so that he no longer serves himself primarily or his own interests, but rather serves the interests of other people. Hard to believe that a ballot box could actually do that. Regeneration, a special calling from God, perhaps, but not a ballot box. Are there truly any statesmen, quote-unquote? I don't think so. Not when you have an evil state. Anyway, think about question 14. There may be some spiritually publicly spirited men, who are able to subordinate their self-interest in favor of the public interest, but I doubt it. The difference, there is a difference between selfishness and self-interest, as we talked about before. Don't confuse the two. But nevertheless, any rate, we're come to the end of our show today. Pick up a copy of The Deep Questions for Dr. Coben's radio show. Treat yourself to thinking today. Think about liberty. Think about what the God of the Bible would have you to do to serve him in this world and how you should begin considering the state and its public policies. We look forward to seeing you again next time. That's tomorrow morning right here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Until then, God bless you.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.